I'm Edgar B. Herbert III, and you are listening to Boston Public Radio. Well, this Sunday night, the Boston music community will gather together and celebrate the best and brightest of Boston musicians for the 25th year. It's going to be a big celebration, and we thought we would preview the event a little bit right now and maybe learn a little bit about the music that's being made in our own backyard right here that we haven't heard before. And so I'm going to start things off with Jake Brennan, who's the producer of the event itself, the Boston Music Awards producer himself, and a musician, local musician.
Yeah, yeah.
So thanks for being with us here on Boston Public Radio.
Thanks for having me.
So 25 years, how long have you been involved with this?
This is my fifth year working on the event. I started in 2008, and my fifth year. It's our 25th anniversary.
How come you got involved?
I'm friends with Chip Reeves, who's the executive director, and he, back in 2008, just asked me if I wanted to help out sort of corralling the local music community and helping out with the program and programming, and it just grew from there.
And so what's the idea behind it? What happens? Is there a bunch of categories? Is it like a typical award show? Kind of walk us through, for somebody who's never been there, doesn't know about it.
Okay, it's definitely not a typical award show.
Okay, good. I like it already. Yes.
Which was part of the problem, I thought, if I was going to be critical of the event previously, as it was trying to be at an award show, and it just never really worked because you get a bunch of people from the industry in one room and they all want to talk to each other. So it's tough to have people to kind of sit and be quiet and go through this award ceremony. But the way we do it now, there's 30-something categories based on genre, and there are about 4 to 5 nominees per category. And the event itself is held at the Liberty Hotel, which is the old Charles Street Jail. If you've ever been there, it's kind of like this boutique hotel that looks a little bit like a fancy Roman Colosseum. There are different rotundas.
Yeah.
And so the way the event happens is it's almost like we have music in 5 different rooms. The awards portion is only 30 minutes. It's done by video roll call. We hand out about three awards live. And there's music happening on 5 different stages throughout the hotel. So it's a lot like a little mini festival inside of a boutique hotel.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So one of the things that jumps out at me when you're answering that question is 30 categories.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And we're thinking of adding more.
What does that say about the local music scene that you have 30 different categories in a sort of local awards ceremony for music?
I don't know. I mean, I think it definitely speaks to how diverse and robust the scene is, but a lot of them are pretty standard. 30 sounds like a lot, but when you get through, you know, your best album of the year, your best artist, male vocalist, female vocalist, you know, all the different genres, electronic, blues, jazz, folk, et cetera, and then the fun ones like, you know, best music blog, best Boston artist who doesn't live in Boston. You know, we also celebrate like best DJ and dance night and best live residency, and, you know, there are artists who are play once a week, every week in the same club, and they have these little communities going on, and we feel like that should be noticed and celebrated.
Yeah. You know? How do you guys come up with the nominations for these categories?
We have a quote-unquote voting academy, which consists of about...
By calling it an academy, it sounds very fancy.
Sounds way more prestigious than it is.
How many people are in the academy?
There's roughly about 200 of
them. Wow, so it's pretty big.
Yeah, and
who is it? Just like...
It's local industry insiders, everyone from managers and agents to people who work in music retail to, you know, guitar techs to bloggers to journalists. And we every year, end of the summer, we reach out to them and say, here are the categories, who should be nominated, and here's the criteria. And they get back to us, and that's how we come up with the nominations.
That's cool. So who's at the event? Is it mostly insiders and musicians, or can just regular music fans and curiosity seekers go and be a part of it?
Totally. It's open to the public. It's a lot. It's definitely, like I said, like a festival inside of a little boutique hotel. But because we have it in December every year and it's the whole industry, it kind of doubles as, you know, the local music industry's Christmas party. You know, it's kind of got that vibe, you know.
But
it's open to the public. This year we're doing something we've never done before. We're actually doing a satellite show across the river in Kendall Square at this new place called Red Star Studios. And we're having 3 bands perform there and simulcasting live over the internet and on a giant screen in the lobby of the Liberty as well. So,
wow.
Yeah, we're going to have Mean Creek is going to perform there along with Gem Club and Yale, Massachusetts.
All right, cool. So that's actually a good time to bring into the conversation Scott McLennan here with me in the studio as well. He's a music journalist, writes for the Boston Globe, a lot of a lot of local stuff on your radar all the time. And I wanted to sort of get into some of these local bands. You mentioned a few of them, and I know that I know Mean Creek is a band that you're kind of hot on, right, Scott? So, you know, Scott, I'm curious, as somebody who follows local music, who writes about local music, sees a lot of shows, looking over these nominations and some of the major categories and stuff, who's standing out for you?
Absolutely. I mean, Mean Creek is a band that I really just came to love this year. David Wax Museum's another one that jumps right out at you, doing some great stuff. The diversity of just all these different bands, too, is something that you see people making an impact in rock and roll and dance music and electronic music and folk music.
Yeah.
These are all Boston folks having national exposure in multiple genres. Like, that's something that jumped out at me with this.
That's really interesting. Let's listen to a little bit of music. I have some Mean Creek right here. So I want to hit a cut from Mean Creek right now. Listen to a little bit. Maybe we can talk about these guys a little. So this is a song called "Do You Know." Jake, what do you know about these guys?
What do I know about these guys? What do I want to say publicly? Yeah, I know they're all great people and great musicians, and I'm in a band as well, and I've been lucky enough to play with these guys and get to know them a little bit. And they're just in the tradition of great Boston rock bands. They're making excellent records, and they're taking it out on the road nationally. I think they just get back today or tonight. They've been on the road for like 4 weeks with Counting Crows.
Yeah,
Adam Duritz is a huge fan of theirs.
Yeah, I think they opened a couple local shows and then they ended up with like a whole national tour with Counting Crows. And so they caught the eye of someone who gave them a chance, and they've been doing a lot of blogging and reports back about these fantastic shows they've been having, like up and down the West Coast and down into Texas, and their shows inevitably are just really full of energy and very passionate. And these are the guys who, Chuck Berry begets Beatles beget, whatever. You get to Tom Petty, you get to Mean Creek. There's that real sort of classic rock and roll, but it's not dated at all. It's really fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. You talk about a band who's, it sounds like, whose stars on the rise a little bit, on a big national tour like that. Do we still see them playing locally here? I mean, can you still catch a band like Mean Creek as they're on their rise? Are they still around, or are they gone on the road all the time at that point?
Well, they're out a lot, but I think they're actually playing tomorrow night or tonight.
Great Scott, I think.
Yeah, they're doing a local show.
There you go. Very nice.
Go see Mean Creek.
All right, very good.
Yeah, go.
Go see Mean Creek, there you go. I'm talking with Jake Brennan, who's the producer of the Boston Music Awards, a local musician as well, and I've got Scott McLennan with me, a music journalist for the Boston Globe. We're talking about the Boston Music Awards, which happened on Sunday night. Another band that I just heard off of your lips is Gem Club.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know, Scott, this is a band that you like as well.
Yeah, well, it's funny. When you called me to say, do you want to talk about this stuff? I'm like, let me make sure I can, kind of fake my way through a conversation here. And again, one of the great things about an award ceremony like this is you do discover bands just because of, their names are coming up. And this is one of them. I was doing some homework. This band just jumped out at me. This record just jumped out at me. And I hope good things happen for these guys, either at the awards show or beyond. It's a beautiful sound, and it's, again, a discovery.
Let's have a listen to a little bit of Gem Club. This is a track called Twins. So it's totally different than the Mean Creep cut that we have, right? Shifting gears a little bit here.
Yeah.
This is a very different sound, ethereal. Jake, is there a Boston sound? Is there sort of like a sort of genre?
No,
or a,
there's no, not. There's never been a Boston sound. I mean, people argue that. You know, I was actually talking to John Felice from The Real Kids, who were playing, and they're like a seminal Boston rock band.
So what makes it? So what is a seminal Boston rock band?
I guess I'm putting words in his mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think him and a lot of other people would say that. So you know, Boston in the 70s and 80s had this great tradition of, you know, kind of minimalist, you know, guitar, bass, yeah, drums, leather jacket, blues bass, yeah, Chuck Berry, rock and roll, and they fit that. And a lot of people nationally would say that. I think if you went to Chicago or Seattle and you said, "What does Boston sound like?" They would say, "Real
Aerosmith.
Kids, Modern Lovers, Aerosmith."
Yep. Yeah.
But I think because Boston's a college town, so many people come here in their formative years from different parts of the country with different influences themselves. We have this very kind of sporadic and diverse scene with all different types of genres, and I think that's how you would describe the Boston music scene, is very multifaceted.
Hence, 30 categories and want to get more in the local music awards.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at, I mean, you know, just even recent successes from Dropkick Murphys or Mighty Mighty Bosstones. I mean, these are bands that, you know, have big punk followings, and there's folk artists that are Boston-based. And so, yeah, there's that.
Hardcore scene was huge here and very influential,
still is.
Right?
That's where I come from. I mean, that's you know, that's the world I come
from. The roots of the alternative movement in the 90s with bands like the Pixies,
totally,
who performed here as well, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the things that's interesting that you guys bring up is the idea that this being a college town and people coming here from all over the place adds to the diversity. I think not only is it a college town, but it's a college music town, because you've got Berkeley, you've got these conservatories, and I think you have a lot of people young people studying music here as well. And one of the things that struck me in looking over the nominations is in the Artist of the Year category, we have two acts who have very strong world music strains. One, which was the Debo Band, who we just heard a little bit of in the tease into this segment. Another one that you mentioned, David Wax Museum. I want to listen to a little bit of David Wax Museum right here, and I want to talk about the world music thing. So these guys have they were here with us on Boston Public Radio a couple weeks ago. They did a performance in our Fraser studio, and David Wax talked about going to Veracruz, Mexico,
right,
studying on a fellowship, studying this Mexican folk music,
right,
and then like weaving that into his music. And you hear that in this. Is that sort of something that we're seeing in Boston? Or are you guys seeing this in music everywhere right now, this kind of rise of world music?
I think it's everywhere. And I think a lot of these guys, I don't know how old David is, but I'm guessing he's in his mid-20s. And I think a lot of these guys and girls were weaned on Paul Simon's Graceland.
Yeah, you certainly hear it in that.
And it's kind of, it's coming out now. And I think that's great. And it's really just rock and roll. I mean, that's what it is. And that's, you know, so it's great.
Yeah, no, I saw these guys this summer on a bill with Los Lobos, and they couldn't have been more thrilled to be sort of with pioneers of bringing that Latino influence into rock and roll. And it's funny to think that, you know, Los Lobos at one time was considered sort of like the cutting edge, and now they're sort of like the traditional standard bearer for a next generation like a David Wax Museum.
Right,
and that's... Yeah, and then what's great about David Wax Museum is they don't treat this as precious at all. I mean, you've got, you know, Sue's is like, you know, whacking the bejesus out of a donkey jawbone, and he's dancing around. So it's not like this academic, even though he's an academic dude who was on fellowships and stuff. It's live. It's fantastic.
It's rock and roll.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Rock and roll. All right, there we go. We're talking with Jake Brennan, who's the producer of the Boston Music Awards, and Scott McLennan, music journalist, music critic, music writer for the Boston Globe. I should mention Tickets are still available to the BMAs if you want to go, right?
Yes.
And so we have a link on our website, wgbhnews.org/BPR. That'll take you to all the information you need about the Boston Music Awards if you want to go. So we've talked a lot. I mean, you guys, both of you kind of come out of a folk and rock and roll kind of area, but there's also hip-hop happening, electronic, pop music, you know, an act that's local that's had a lot of success this year. They were on Saturday Night Live as a band, Carmen, who's sort of this hybrid bubblegum pop with, yeah, like, that you, yeah, see the hip-hop influence, yeah, like, kind of, that's worked its way all the way down into, you know, bubblegum music. I want to hear a little bit of Carmen's music right, yeah, now, just to kind of give a sense of the scope of the kind of music that's happening locally here. So, what's our take on an act like this, guys?
I love Carmen. I love that a band from Boston is in the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade. Yeah. They're on Saturday Night, yeah, Live. Yeah. They've created their own thing. It's totally bubblegum, but, you know, it's natural to them. I remember seeing them on the street, on Newbury Street, you know, performing for nothing about 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just kind of, they totally embraced the social media, YouTube culture that we live in, and they found a way to kind of get their stuff out there and attract the attention of some people who really care.
Yeah, it's you know, it's like a like a sugar buzz. You know, it's glad that they're there. I don't know if it's gonna have like the legs of some of these other bands, but
you don't think we'll be around in 40 years talking about Carmen's new record,
the new seminal sound of Boston, the seminal Boston band, but it's
the sound of our town, Carmen.
So looking back at the sound of it, I mean, are there old stalwarts bands that like have been around forever that are, you know, that are either putting new albums out or that are being celebrated this year?
Definitely the real kids for sure. Yeah. They're about to go do a new record with Paul Coldery, who's done, you know,
Everybody's,
Pixies, yeah, and Hole and Dinosaur Jr. And they're playing this year to sort of kick, you know, that off.
And you've got Mission to Burma right in there with the album of the year for their record Unsound is this band that's been around forever. They went away for a while, but their new stuff or the Mach 2 stuff is as good and influential, I think, as their original stuff. And that's an excellent record, you know. We were having this conversation earlier, but, you know, do you want to just look at the new bands, or do you still have to give credit to the bands that have been working for a long time? And,
yeah,
something like Unsound makes you say, oh, you got to pay attention, mm-hmm, to, you know, these veteran bands.
Yeah. I mean, it's increasingly hard, I think, for musicians to make a living as a musician. I mean, that's something that's always been hard, right? And maybe, you know, maybe it's no harder now than it was, but the landscape is certainly more fractured than it's ever been.
Totally.
So I think it's harder to become a huge superstar and make millions, but maybe it's not harder to kind of make a regular living if you're sort of hustling as a musician. But can it be done in this town? Are there bands who are just doing it, making their living as musicians in Boston?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's where the category, the best live music residency, comes into play. I mean, some of these guys like Tim Guerin and I don't even know who else is in that category. Sorry.
That's right. Well, you have 30 categories to remember. So
But these guys are, you know, their bands are chock full of musicians. That's all they do is they play every night. And they play in the different clubs around town. And, you know, one guy's a mandolin player, one guy's a guitar player, one guy's a bass player. They play in 8 different bands.
Yeah, sure. You
know? I mean, that's how Session Americana even kind of started.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah,
it was a bunch of residency things that became this internationally touring band.
Sure.
That is actually a great thing about Boston. I don't know if it's replicated so well in other cities, but, you know, you can go to the Lizard or you can go to Atwood's or whatever, and you know, see these fantastic bands, you know, Dennis and Duke Levine and Kevin Barry and these people who are touring are all over the world, but also doing these weekly gigs when they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say that Boston is a great music city? I mean, a great American music city? Is it up there with the great cities of.
Oh yeah,
I'm not sure which one's better. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Like something. I mean, I think people, you know, like a New York or like really large cities like a New York or a Los Angeles or
definitely.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, you can go to a restaurant that serves one thing and does it really well, and that might be your New Orleans music scene,
right?
Or you can go to a restaurant where they just feature all different kinds of great stuff, and that's really what we have here.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to be celebrating that this weekend, the Boston Music Awards, 2012 Boston Music Awards. They're going to go down Sunday night at the Liberty Hotel. Tickets still available if you want to go become a part of the madness, or it sounds like you can just kind of get out and see live music any night of the week here in Boston, which these guys say is a great music town. Tune in on Monday morning. I'm going to be with Bob C. We're going to kind of look at some of the winners after the Boston Music Awards, so we'll recap that and talk a little bit more about the local music scene. Jake Brennan, producer of the BMAs, and Scott McLennan, music writer for the Boston Globe. Thanks, guys, for taking some time
and talking local music
with us today. And there she is, a vision in black, Kelly Crossley, wearing a lovely black sweater in Studio 3 with me here.
You know, I'm always a vision in black, Edgar.
Oh, nice. Yes. Well done. Well done. Well, Kelly, if the Boston Music Awards don't say Friday, then I know something that does. Cape Cod Turtles, Rhode Islanders agitating over a holiday tree and more.
That's right, Edgar. It's not a Friday at GBH if we don't look at the local news that went under the radar. Today, it's regional stories that went under the radar. We'll be dropping in on New Hampshire, the Cape, and the Ocean State, also known as Rhode Island.
All right, the Ocean State and live free or die. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III.
I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.